Traditional owners have welcomed a native title ruling that they say will allow them to continue to care for the land where their ancestors walked, hunted, and held ceremonies on. The federal court has delivered its ruling on the case that was lodged in 2015, granting three traditional owner groups, the Lutchi Lutchi, Nyintite and Neri Neri peoples, native title in Victoria's northwest. The ruling grants the traditional owner groups non-exclusive rights, including the right to access land, use its resources, and protect sites, objects, and places of cultural and spiritual significance. Native Title applicant member Timothy Johnson says it's a joyous outcome for traditional owners who have been fighting since the 1990s for Native Title. Action to further protect children in childcare is set to be among the federal government's first priorities. Its proposed changes include removing funding from centres that fail to meet safety standards. Liberal Senator Jonathan Denham told ABC the opposition is supportive, but it will look closer at the detail.
With them again on Wednesday to go through the detail of the bill, and it is something we do support. We'll examine the detail. We've got to do everything we possibly can to deal with what is a problem in our childcare sector. Though this legislation only goes so far, dealing with the payment mechanism and the payment of rebates to childcare providers in response to this is a small part of what needs to be done. The balance of the work needs to be undertaken by state and territory government.
Labor is expected to return to Parliament with a huge majority, promising action on a range of fronts, from childcare reform to slashing student HECS debt, as the one reform he'd most want to be remembered for. But with the accusations levelled against Joshua Brown, whose 70 counts of alleged abuse at Melbourne Early Learning Centres have raised concerns that the rapid expansion of government subsidies into the sector has not been met with equal increase in safety and scrutiny. Mr. Albanese says he sees a need for a stronger role for the federal government in childcare. And with Parliament resuming, he says he wants this to be the year of delivery for the government's policy agenda.
To all the MPs and senators elected to the 48th Parliament, firstly, congratulations across the board. It is such a privilege to sit either in the House of Representatives or the Senate, and something that none of us should ever take for granted. And it is an honour each and every day.
The first parliamentary sitting since May election begins tomorrow, 22nd of July. The second term of Albanese government will see Labor with an increased majority, holding 94 of the 150 seats of the House of Representatives after a landslide election win. About 40 politicians are entering Parliament for the first time. An investigation is underway after a motorbike rider died in New South Wales Saturday night after hitting a pole while being pursued by police. Police allege officers attempted to stop a motorbike on the street in Hamilton, Newcastle, after noticing its number plates were obscured. Police allege when the rider failed to stop as directed, a pursuit began. It is understood a chase continued, with police alleging the man was speeding before he crashed into a traffic pole on the Pacific Highway at Charlestown. New South Wales Police Assistant Commissioner David Waddell says there will be a review of the incident.
Tragic situation. We've got a young 20-year-old man who has passed away. Obviously, his family are suffering and are traumatised, as are our police. And the purpose of the critical incident investigation is to review all aspects in relation to that pursuit and the circumstances of the motor vehicle accident.
Two men have died in a plane crash near Oakey, west of Brisbane. Emergency services were called to Oakey Kuya Road after reports of a light aircraft going down at 3 p.m. on Sunday. A Queensland Fire Department spokesperson said fire crews arrived to find the plane engulfed in flames and quickly extinguished the fire. Queensland police confirmed the two men were declared dead at the scene, and Forensic Crash Unit is investigating the circumstances around the incident. In Tasmania, State Labor leader Dean Winter says he's begun discussions with crossbenchers about possible power-sharing arrangements following Saturday's election result. Neither major party won the required 18 seats in the lower house to rule as a majority government. The Liberal Party so far secured 14 seats to Labor's 9. The Greens have 5 seats and Independents have 3. 4 seats are undecided. Mr. Winter has refused to officially concede, saying he is keeping his options open.
At this stage, we've opened a line of discussion with the crossbench, and we'll make sure that they understand where we stand. But we're not going to be horse trading on policy. We're not going to be selling out Labor values and Labor policy.
But is that what you're seeking?
Look, in order for Labor to form a government, we would need supply and confidence from members of the crossbench.
Authorities say contact tracing is underway for hospital staff who may have been exposed to a man admitted with a rare strain of Mpox. The patient was diagnosed with clade 1 Mpox variant after he presented to Logan Hospital, south of Brisbane, following his return from a trip to Africa. Queensland Health Minister Tim Nicholls says the patient was not contagious during his journey to Australia. But he says officials believe a limited number in the community and hospital may have been exposed.
Those close contacts that he has been in contact, including at the emergency ward and in other locations, are being contact traced right now and identified. At this stage, we think that there are 19 community contacts and 40 staff contacts that have been in contact with the patient.
The health ministry in Gaza says at least 85 Palestinians have been killed while trying to get food on the deadliest day yet for aid seekers in over 21 months of war. Footage taken by the UN staff shows Palestinian men running as the sound of automatic gunfire is heard. Israel has blocked international media access to the Gaza Strip, making it challenging to report what is happening. Israel's military has issued evacuation orders for areas of central Gaza, one of the few areas where it is rarely operated with ground troops and where many international organizations trying to distribute aid are located. The humanitarian director in Gaza for Save the Children, Rachel Cummings, says urgent action is needed.
There's another mass casualty incident that is being reported in the vicinity of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation food distribution. The situation here is absolutely dire. And my team said to me today, the situation in Gaza has never been this bad. They are desperately hungry. Children are crying all the time for food. And my team, who are employed, they have money in their bank accounts. They're unable to find food in Gaza to buy.
Israel's military says soldiers shot at a gathering of thousands of Palestinians in northern Gaza who posed a threat, and it is aware of some casualties. It accused Hamas militants of creating chaos and says it disputes the numbers reported by officials in Gaza and believes it to be lower. A new report has warned that health, education, and environmental programs in Southeast Asia's poorest countries are under threat as Western governments slash their foreign aid budgets. The report by the Lowy Institute finds China is leading the development race in Southeast Asia as traditional donors like the United States and United Kingdom step away from the region. The third edition of the Southeast Asia aid map has indicated China increased its regional development spend in 2023 for the first time in 3 years. A research associate for the Lowy Institute, Grace Stanhope, told SBS News the funding cuts will have a sizable impact.
The lack of Western and European money going into Southeast Asia is a real problem. We're projecting a 20% drop in bilateral foreign aid to the region by 2026.
In cycling, Tim Wellens claims victory on stage 15 of the Tour de France. The Belgian national took the lead, breaking away from a group of 6, some 43 kilometres from the finish. Wellens says it's a very special victory.
I knew I was going to be in a very beautiful list to finally complete my trilogy from the Giro, Tour and Vuelta. So I knew I had to enjoy the moment. I kept riding till the finish line because I wanted a big gap to fully enjoy it and maybe put my bike in the air after the finish. But I was so happy to win that I forgot to do it.
And now for the weather for Monday, 21st of July. Brisbane is seeing possible showers at 21. Thursday Island, also possible showers at 19. Cairns is seeing showers at 29. Newcastle is possible shower at 19. And same with Sydney, possible shower at 19. Canberra is partly cloudy at 16. Similar with Albury-Wodonga, partly cloudy at 16. Melbourne is partly cloudy at 16. Hobart is mostly sunny at 15. Adelaide is showers at 18. Perth, a shower or two at 15. Broome is possible shower at 27. Darwin is sunny at 31. And Alice Springs is sunny at 25. And that wraps up the news, weather and sport for today. You're listening to NITV Radio.